and I pass to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and then last of all appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born.
Earlier I was accused of being Lutheran and liking the creed. And I do confess that I was raised Lutheran. And I do confess, however, that I came in the E-free to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. What we were singing about is called creed, but what we were singing about is called the dogma of the faith. It's the kerygma, it's the kernel of what our belief is. And as we come today into talking about the resurrection, we are coming in to talk about dogma of the faith. For you cannot have Jesus Christ without the resurrection. It's important that we do not try to peel Christ, Christianity, and the resurrection apart. And that's not just my opinion. The Apostle Paul says if Jesus really didn't rise from the dead, we are most of all to be pitied. This is the author who wrote much of the New Testament. If the resurrection didn't really happen, let's stop calling ourselves Christians. Let's stop wasting our time. But Paul says, he says that because he knows that Jesus rose from the dead. And the evidence is overwhelming. I'm not going to prove the resurrection today. That's not my goal. I just want to point you to the evidence. People who have faith will say that there's a lot of reason and evidence underneath that faith. It's not just a blind. It's not just a crazy faith. And for those of you who are skeptical, perhaps God will point you today to some new evidence for why that faith, for why the resurrection is real. And so to begin with, I'm going to recommend to you some books. Two of the books I needed to replace because they were plenty worn. The Big Book by N.T. Wright, 800 pages. Heather Carlson is going to borrow that first. But you are welcome to borrow those. The one on skeptics is very easy to understand. It will give you direct and easy answers as you talk with your family and friends who say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, but I don't believe that he rose from the dead. So let's talk about that today. What is the resurrection? One of the defining issues of Christianity is that question, did Jesus Christ really rise up from the grave? In the 40 days leading up to Easter, we journeyed to the cross. We reflected on who Jesus is. We prayed through his horrific crucifixion on the cross. He was buried in a tomb. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead. Easter Sunday. Pastor Paul preached on that last week about what Resurrection Sunday is all about. But we don't want to go off of it so quickly. Let's take time and pause. Why is that resurrection such an important part of who we are as believers? Why is the resurrection true? And how can I know that? The scripture tells us that what we believe about the resurrection matters. It really, really matters. In fact, as we look at Romans 10:9, read those words. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then what? Say the words. Then you are saved. Then you will be saved. So it isn't that we are able to believe that Jesus is the Christ and not believe in the resurrection to be saved. The scripture is clear. Scripture is clear. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and what? Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Then you will be saved. And if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. But guess what, people? So is your faith. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people the most to be pitied. In other words, if there's no resurrection, you've got better things to go do. If there's no resurrection, why did you come to church today? If there's no resurrection, your faith is empty and you are lost in your sin. If there's no resurrection, we have no purpose other than to live for ourselves. 1 Corinthians 15:32 says, if the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we will die. Talk about hedonism. If the dead do not rise, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we will die. If there is no resurrection, we have no hope in the hereafter. Since the day that Jesus rose from the dead, people of every generation have tried to deny the reality of the resurrection because, as stated in Romans 1:4, listen to these words, Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Wow. He was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. The Roman Empire has passed away. The priests and the Sanhedrin who sent him to the cross has passed away. But Christianity still remains. If God can bring the dead to life, he can do anything. You might say it's not that logical. Seeing a dead man walk and surpasses anything that I can imagine absolutely doesn't make sense. It's a miracle. But Jesus' resurrection from the dead was not the first time that someone was raised from the dead. When Jesus walked the earth, he personally raised three people from the dead that are accounted for in the New Testament. The son of the widow of Nain, Jairus' daughter, and of course one we all know, Lazarus. But listen to these words from Matthew 28:51-53, which tell us what happened when Christ died on the cross. Listen to these words. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who were died were raised to death, raised to life. Wow. They came out of the tombs and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. I don't say this as a joke when I go, oh my goodness, here comes my Aunt Bertha. Here's my grandma. Here's my grandpa. Raised up, came out of their tombs and into the city on the resurrection day. On the resurrection day, creation, the Trinity was the witness. The resurrection has witnesses. Witnesses. But what I want you to know that as we look at this, we hear that part about what happened after his death, but God moved through Peter and Paul. God moved through Elisha and Elijah in the Old Testament and raised people from the dead. God wins in those stories. Death doesn't seem to have a claim. Each of these people are raised from the dead, but I want you to hear me. They are raised from the dead into mortality because they are people like you and me. They are people who will one day die. They are people whose body will one day go back into the grave because of the commonality that we have that is called the human condition. But Jesus, I want you to hear me, Jesus conquered death when he rose from the grave. He rose never to die again. He says in John 10:18, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and the authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Christ has come. He has conquered death. He has conquered death for you and me, that one day we will live in eternity with him because the grave has lost its hold. Boy, is that an amen or what? So is there evidence for the resurrection of Christ? As I said to you earlier, God's work in creation was witnessed by the Trinity. God's work in the resurrection was witnessed by many people. Greta read the scripture earlier. Jesus appeared to Cephas, to the 12, 500 of the brothers and the sisters at the same time. He appeared to his brother James, his half-brother James. And remember, James is one of them that called him crazy. They needed to get him home, get him back in that house, because what he was proclaiming was out of this world. And yet James is the one who went on to be the bishop of Jerusalem during the famine in the city. He was a man who gave his life totally and completely over to believing that Jesus is the risen Christ. You want to try to convince somebody of it? Try it with your family. try it with your family. He revealed himself to all of the apostles, and he revealed himself to Paul. So let's talk briefly, just briefly, about some of the arguments against the resurrection. The best argument by those who oppose Christ is that his body was stolen out of the tomb while the soldiers were guarding the tomb and while the soldiers were asleep. As we encounter the disciples in the scripture after the crucifixion, where are they? They are hiding and they are in deep fear. They are afraid that the Roman government is coming for them. Peter has already been called out in his denials of Christ. They are terrified. And so common sense says that they did not come out at night, the 11 of them, and overtake the guards at the tomb. That they did not move that 2,000 to 4,000 pound stone, depending on the type of rock it was. That they did not move that, break that seal and move that stone, all the while not waking up sleeping soldiers. What do you think? All without seeing or making a noise. Who would do that for a dead man? What about the bribes? When the chief priests and the elders were told of the empty tomb, they didn't go on an extensive search for Christ's body. Matthew 28:12-13 says, "When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, 'Tell them, his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept.' The high priest bribed the soldiers when they could not, when they could have had them put to death. And let me raise this question. How could the soldiers know who stole the body if they were sleeping? Number three, God's judgment had been hanging over the temple. According to Matthew 27, the priests had finally given themselves over to rejecting Jesus. But look at Acts 6:7. Oh, this is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly. And a large number of the priests were coming to the faith. These are the very men who crucified Christ. These are the very men who manipulated within the Roman government that he would hang on a cross. And they are the very people on that Good Friday that Jesus died for. That Jesus died for those who hated him and rejected him. And Acts 6:7 begins to pepper back and forth within the book of Acts of the number of people in Jerusalem who were coming to the faith. Coming to the faith. And it includes those priests. And it includes that Sanhedrin. Are fallen to their knees in belief. But perhaps the strongest indication, perhaps the strongest argument for the resurrection is that of the bold witness that happened within these men. Within these disciples who ran from the cross, who were hiding in terrible fear. Peter and Paul were crucified. They were martyred. They weren't both crucified. Peter and Paul were martyred in Rome. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified. When Peter was crucified, we know the story. He could not be crucified like his Lord had been, so he hung upside down. Andrew was crucified in the land of the man-eaters, or what we knew as the Soviet Union. Doubting Thomas, he was crucified for his faith. Well, again, he wasn't crucified. Doubting Thomas was pierced through by four swords in the area that we know as Syria. But he died because of his faith. Philip, presumably arrested and cruelly put to death because he led the wife of a Roman proconsul to death. And the list goes on. The list goes on. I'm out of time. I got into the pulpit late. There's just lots more to tell you. But what I want you to hear, well, let me close with these words from Josephus. That as Josephus, who was a first century Jewish military leader, turned historian, he was captured by the Romans. One scholar called him a hostile witness. And this is what he says. He's talking about Christ. He's talking about that the Jews and the Gentiles loved him. He was a doer of wonderful works. It goes on to say down here, at the suggestion of the principal men amongst us, they had condemned him to the cross. Those that loved him at the first did not forsake him, for he appeared to them alive again on the third day. As the divine prophets had foretold these and 10,000 other things concerning him. And the tribe of Christians, so named from him, are not extinct to this day. Amen. Becky Hansen's out of time with a sermon. But you know what? If Josephus was alive today, Josephus would say, and the tribe of Christians, the tribe of Christians so named for him, are not extinct in the year 2021 either. God bless you. Go ahead and come up. As we come to the communion table, may you be reminded that when God encounters us on our road to Damascus, it is a personal encounter. The apostle Saul, he became the apostle Paul, but Saul was struck with the brilliance of light and he fell to the ground. And Jesus said to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Saul heard that voice, but the men around him did not. The men around him saw the bright light. The men around him heard noise. They knew something was happening to Saul, but they did not hear what the words were to Saul. We have our own roads to Damascus. We have our own times that we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ when he looks at us and calls us for his own. And at that very moment that you say, "Oh yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who has come into the world," you are rescued from the domain of darkness. You are snatched right out of the hell pit. You are snatched right out of the hands of Satan. And you are transferred into the kingdom of light. Your whole life changes. Your whole life changes. And as Ephesians 1:13 says, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. This means that God seals you. He stamps you. Eternity mark on you that you belong to him. And then the Holy Spirit continues to work in you, authenticating your relationship with God, making you more like Jesus in your conduct, in your behavior, in your words, in your actions, in your life. You are transformed from the chronos or the ordinariness of your life into an eternal relationship with the God of the resurrection. Jesus is the risen Christ.